Good morning and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL in South Florida. And we're here live with you on YouTube on the Condo Craze and HOAs channel. So please go to that channel and subscribe and download. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. Eric, board certified by the Florida Bar and Community Association Law and Plan Development Law. His firm has attorneys in Fort Lauderdale and Orlando, and we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about what makes issues and life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. And we'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your calls and condo questions and HOA questions. No matter where you live in the state, the country, or the world, we are international right here because we have a toll-free number, 877-850-8585. Or again, go to our YouTube channel. You can ask us a question in the streaming chats there. And again, it's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so as well by visiting Eric's website and the show's website, CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com, and by clicking on the Contact Us tab.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show, don't forget to do two things now. You got to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit subscribe and hit reminders. You'll get reminders every time that our show is on. And, of course, still subscribe to our mailing list. Subscribing to our mailing list, hey, we have about 10,000 of you on there already. You can get announcements about our YouTube broadcasts. You can get announcements about our newsletters, our upcoming seminars. I can't believe we're doing one already live next week.
Yay. Yeah, it's Palm Beach election season.
Yeah, it really is. That's right. We're going from election to election. And you know what's nice? We're doing it in person now.
Good.
People are starting to have us allow the attorneys back in.
Yay.
Which is good. So, well, we're having fun. So, again, don't forget, subscribe to the YouTube channel and subscribe to our mailing list. And you can subscribe to our mailing list by going to the show's website, CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com. Very, very simple to do it. Of course, as you guys know, we do a blog every single Monday morning at HOA-CondoBlog.com. Again, HOA-CondoBlog.com. Tomorrow's topic, which we're going to spend some time talking about today, is it may be impossible to get a new mortgage for many condos in the state of Florida.
And oh,
find
great.
Out why in a minute. You know, as if condos didn't have enough problems. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they've just come out with new guidelines. We're talking about, you know, real recently, within the last 30 days. And condos have to follow them. And what, you know, what is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Basically, they're government-sponsored agencies that back most of these loans. They guarantee the loans. Well, they're not going to guarantee the loans anymore, which means these loans are not going to be given out, unless the condo passes a rigorous, and I mean rigorous, financial test. I went through it already with one condo this week.
Really?
Yeah.
And a safety test.
Yeah, you'll see.
I mean, wild. You can't blame them, right? I mean, after the Surfside situation.
Oh, absolutely. It's all in response to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, there's a lot of factors that they're now considering. And how about this? Let's just forget Surfside for a second. How about no more than 15% of the total number of units can be rental units, right? And be 60 or 60 days delinquent in the payment of assessments, right? Now, think about that. As things start to go up, right, as assessments start to go up, how fast do you think a lot of communities are going to get to 15% delinquency? And once that happens, no more Fannie and Freddie loans are going to be available in that community.
I mean, there's no question that condo assessments start to rise. Many buildings will exceed 15%. I mean, there's just no way around it, you know?
Yeah.
And being at least 60 days late paying your monthly assessment, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty, pretty common. So, you know, let's say you're just one of those people. You can't afford it anymore. You know, your assessments are going up because of insurance, because of what happened at Surfside, because you now have to pay reserves, etc. If you want to sell, you are going to obviously try to sell to somebody who's trying to get a conventional loan,
right,
to purchase your property.
Or an all-cash buyer.
Well, that's what you're going to need now. That's right. If you can't find an all-cash buyer for your unit, you may have real big problems selling it because your building no longer qualifies for FHA financing because Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae won't back it. It's going to be a lot harder for you to find a buyer now really, really difficult.
Yeah, I had, you know, when I was looking for our condo, some of them were no FHA and then only FHA. So it's, you know, and how are Fannie and Freddie going to get information from every condo about this?
Now, this already started, believe it or not. I have an amazing system of how they get in touch with condos. And on Friday, I helped a community association manager here in Aventura fill out this new Fannie and Freddie questionnaire. And it went on for pages, and it asks about the condition of the property. It asks about how much money do you already have in reserves on hand. Who performed your reserve study? Was it done by somebody independent? If there were reserves in the current budget, if there are any pending violations against the property, and the questions go on and on for several pages, and they want to know about not only the physical condition of the property, but they also want to know about the financial condition of the property. And then we come to the most difficult criteria of them all. You know, the condo must have a reserve study, right? Mm-hmm. And the reserve study has to comply with so many requirements. And Karen, I'm going to ask you to help me out here.
Sure.
Because there are so many requirements. This is so important for condos to know, though. Understand that a buyer in your community is not going to be able to get a loan to purchase in your community unless your reserve study has the following. All right, Karen, you start it off.
All right, an inventory of major components of the project.
Financial analysis and evaluation of current reserve fund adequacy and a proposed annual reserve funding plan.
So this is like a forensic audit of Egypt.
Bingo. And how many have this?
No. And oh, my. I mean, it's hard enough to buy a condo now. Just, you know, I had problems with if there were any lawsuits against them and they had a slip and fall and that held up the closing.
Yep.
But reserve studies, financial analysis must validate that the project has appropriately allotted the recommended reserve funds to provide the condominium project with sufficient financial protection comparable to Freddie Mac's standard budget requirements.
Yep,
what? So now you have to comply to a bank?
Yet you have to comply with their requirements. Your reserve study has to comply with their requirements.
Huh.
The reserve study's annual reserve funding plan has to be detailed. It has to detail the total cost identified for replacement components, and it must meet or exceed the study itself.
Wow.
So you can't underfund what comes out in your own study.
It sounds like Freddie and Fannie might just go out of business. No one's going to.
They're not going to have anything to do.
No, right. No one's going to go for a loan with them. So the most current reserve study or update must be dated within 36 months.
And we know that how many condos haven't done a professional reserve study in years.
So you got to wait for that to happen to buy?
In order to find a buyer. The reserve study has to be prepared by an independent expert. Think about this, an independent expert skilled in performing such studies, such as a reserve study professional, a construction engineer, a certified public accountant who specializes in reserve study, or any professional who demonstrated experience and knowledge in completing reserve studies. Now, think about how many condos don't have a professional reserve study. What do they have? Like we always say, make fun of on the show, we have, you know, Sam who drove a taxi cab in New York.
Right.
Joe the butcher, you know, Sarah the teacher going up on the roof, and they're making the determinations as to what the life expectancy is of your structure.
Or they don't have a reserve at all.
Or they don't have a reserve at all. But now it's got to be done by an expert. But suppose you haven't done it in 3 years.
Yeah.
Think about if you haven't done it in 3 years. For the next 3 years, you're going to have a problem selling units in that community.
No, oh, big time. The reserve study must meet or exceed requirements set forth in any applicable state statute. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Has to comment favorably at the end. The bottom line is the conclusion of your reserve study has to comment favorably on the project's age, the estimated remaining life, the structural integrity, and the replacement of major components. Now, let me say this. In light of what happened in Surfside, you know, the final report that the engineer did in that case made it very, very clear that the building was not in good shape, but did not use the words that the building is on the verge of imminent collapse. I can tell you this, people who perform reserve studies now, they're going to err on the side
of
caution.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're going to say, if you don't fix this or that, it can potentially result in collapse. And here we are, we have Fannie and Freddie wanting your reserve study to comment favorably. I can tell you that most people who are going to be performing the study,
they're going to be overly careful.
Unfavorably.
That's right.
Right, because they're going to be
cover
overly
their butt.
Careful to cover their butt. Exactly. Now, stop and think for a moment how many buildings we have all across the state right at this moment, right as we're doing this show, that have not done a reserve study within the last 3 years by an independent reserve study expert. Instead, they were doing it themselves. I mean, those buildings have incredible problems.
Yeah, you know, if you don't think this affects you, it does, because half the state lives in a community association,
yeah,
and, you know, a large amount of that is condos. So nobody that lives in any of these buildings would be able to sell their unit to anyone who generally wants to get a conventional mortgage.
Yeah, that's right, Karen. That's exactly right.
Oh, my gosh. So these new regulations, are they already in effect, or when do they go into effect, or how
all
does that?
All changes for Freddie Mac, they go into effect for mortgages that are going to start on February 28th.
Okay.
Or later. But guess what?
Fannie
Mae's rules already became effective January 1st, 2022.
And is it possible, if you're not part of an association, to get all of this information from the association? How does that work?
If you're not part, are you saying?
If I'm trying to buy, are they going to show me all their records?
The statutes are going to be amended, I can tell you. It's a great question, Karen, because buyers are a lot smarter than they used to be.
Well, yeah, they have to be.
Buyers are now coming in and saying, wait a minute, you know, instead of just looking at the unit itself and you know, being happy about it, the appearance and the unit looks good and it's been
updated with
new appliances. Oh, no. That's not what new buyers are looking for anymore. They want to know, A, how much is in reserves, and B, when's the last time that a reserve study was done in this building?
And that's not public record, right?
No, it's not. No, it's not. So that's something the seller's that's going to have to get for you. But I can tell you in this upcoming legislative session.
Oh, the seller gets it. Got it.
Yeah. But I can tell you in this upcoming legislative session, you can rest assured there's going to be some changes which is going to allow buyers to get that information too. So, you know, we know that in the year ahead, it's going to be significantly, and I mean significantly more expensive for most listeners and viewers to continue to live in your condo. Insurance is going up. It's going to be mandatory reserves. And what do we also know now? The market of potential buyers is going to narrow. Why is it going to narrow? Because of all these new Fannie and Freddie regulations. So some people may have big problems coming up on their hands. You know, they want to get out, but they're going to be pulled right back in. They're not going to be able to get out. So this is potentially a major, major problem.
And you're always like way ahead of these things. Sound the alarm and nobody listens.
Warned about it.
You did.
We warned about these things happening. But, hey, what do I know? Let's see what our listeners think. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. If you own a condo, I'd love to know what your future plans are. Do you think you want to get out? Do you want to move to an HOA? Get out of the state? You know, what's your thoughts? Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
There are very large management companies, and there are very small management companies. And I think Affinity sits somewhere in the middle of that, where they are big enough to provide you with all of the back of the house services, the accounting, the infrastructure, the support systems, but small enough to be high touch.
We believe at Affinity that we do the 9 to 5 so that you don't have to do that.
An unexpected leak. Jay, you know that's no way to solve a roof problem. Call Best Roofing. We solve roof problems.
We are DMI Paving and Seal Coating, Florida's parking lot experts. We specialize in asphalt paving and repair, including pothole repair, seal coating using JC7 or Polytar, concrete curbs, ramps, and walkways, and striping and pavement marking, as well as ADA compliance. We service commercial properties, owners associations, apartment communities, shopping malls, warehouses, stadiums and arenas, and more. Experience is worth more than anything in an industry like ours, and our staff has decades of it. We have specialized equipment for any job, regardless of size, saving you time and money. DMI has a reputable history. We have been in business since 1956. We serve the state of Florida from 6 locations. Let us bid on your next parking lot project. Visit us online at dmipavingandsealcoating.com.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL and our YouTube channel. We are live there on Condo Craze and HOAs. Go there and subscribe, please, and watch the show. It's phenomenal.
You see, hey, isn't it wonderful, Karen? Yeah. You're seeing the commercials of our sponsors, actually audio commercials for our sponsors.
I'm
how
so
great
proud of,
is
a,
that?
Of us. It's so cool. And you get to see us because generally Eric is in Fort Lauderdale. I'm in West Palm Beach. So it brings everything together in one spot, and you can watch and ask questions there or give us a call in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, let's go to the first call of the day. Mo in Fort Lauderdale. How are you, Mo?
Good morning. Yeah. Please, I have a two-part question.
Sure.
Number one, is there any law that limits the amount of fee an association can charge for application of occupancy and
okay, let's stop there. When you say an application for occupancy, do you mean like someone wants to move in and the association wants to charge them a fee?
Or a renter.
So the law refers to that as what's called a transfer fee, okay? And right now the limit on that is $150, okay? $150, and that's it, $150. If it's a married couple, the same $150 apply. So then that's all you can charge. Anything above that is illegal. And that's why there were a couple of class action lawsuits.
And, does the board need the approval of the unit owners?
No. In order for the board to charge a transfer fee, it needs to be mentioned in the governing documents. In other words, it needs to be approved in either the declaration or I think the bylaws as well. But if the governing documents don't allow for a transfer fee, you can't charge one. You know, we teach this all the time. So many times associations think that they have the right to screen, approve, reject, charge a fee, do an investigation. And sometimes you look, and where in the documents does it say you can do any of that, right? So associations, be careful because a lot of them wind up getting sued. What's part B of your question, Mo?
The second part has to do with whether the increase has to be approved by unit owners.
Now, again, when you say the increase, if
for example, they're trying to increase the fee they charge for the estoppel from $150 to $200.
For the estoppel?
The statute now basically allows, it dictates what those fees are. During the break, I can, you know, pull it up maybe, but if you take a look at Florida Statute 718, type in the word estoppel, you'll see how much estoppels can be charged, and it goes up if the estoppel request needs to be done overnight, like in an emergency.
And that's different from a transfer fee?
Yeah, the transfer fee is charged by the association to do like a background investigation, but the estoppel fee is a charge that is paid to the association to fill out a form saying, okay, how much does the new unit, how much does the current unit owner owe? Are there any special assessments out there? It's something that the new buyer relies upon when purchasing the unit so that if he gets a letter that says there's $0 owed on the unit and then he closes on that, he relies on that, and the condo can't come to him after and say, hey, the old prior owner owed $1,000. Well, I got your estoppel letter that said he owed zero.
There you go.
So therefore, you are estopped from asking me for the $1,000. Okay, that's the purpose of that.
Right.
Two separate things. Thanks for the call, Mo. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
You got it. How about we go to Barry in Miami? Professor Barry in Miami. How are you, Barry?
You're the professor.
What's going on? How are you?
Good, good. And you? Suppose I live in a condominium. I want to get a Freddie Mac approved loan. Our budget is total budget reserves and operating expenses is $2 million. And the budget provides for $180,000. We'll go into reserves in 2022. Can I get a Freddie Mac loan? The answer is, I believe it's Freddie Mac. It's either Freddie Mae or Freddie Mac. But one of the two has a 10% annual requirement.
Yeah.
At least 10% of the total budget go into reserves. So I would not be able to get that loan.
Well, I guess the answer would be unless your reserves, you look at the reserve study, and all you need to contribute, it's a real study. It was done by a real professional, you know, a true engineer. And that reserve study says that only $180,000 is due to the reserves. I don't know how Fannie and Freddie can turn you down if an engineer says the proper contribution is $180,000. But, you know,
okay.
you never know.
There's two provisions that go into effect. One's Freddie Mae. One's Freddie Mac. I don't have it in front of me. One of them, and I believe it's Freddie Mac, has a flat-out 10% requirement.
Right.
The other one, which I believe is Fannie Mae, is an either-or, either 10%.
Gotcha.
Or if your reserve study shows 7% or 8%, you can do that. But one of the two, and I believe it's Freddie Mac, has a flat-out 10% requirement. And if your reserve study shows 7 or 8%, you're not going to get that loan.
Really? Yeah, I mean, this is what's coming to the state of Florida. It's going to be, again, you're going to have rates. Your monthly assessments are going to go up. People that want to sell are going to have a difficult time selling. Why? Because the condo that they live in, A, might not be properly funding the reserve accounts, and B, it's going to be impossible to find a buyer that's going to be able to comply with Fannie and or Freddie regulations. I mean, we're in for a tough road ahead, don't you think so, Barry? I mean,
you
try to look into the future, and I'm looking for a bright spot. You know, help me find one.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
So it's like a marriage, right? When you're getting married, you're like, oh, I'm going to marry this man. And then all of a sudden, you also have to do a forensic audit on the family that you're marrying into. So isn't there some way to get a prenup or some way to, like, just, I just want to buy this unit and I don't want you to have to go into all this other stuff, into my family?
No,
there
isn't. Absolutely not, because the buyers are, unless you got an all-cash buyer that doesn't care.
Oh, boy.
That's the only way. If you have an all-cash buyer that says, I like a unit, I don't care, I got money, I want to take it off your hands and here's the cash and I'm moving in and whatever the budget is I'm willing to pay, great. Good luck finding somebody like that. Right? Good luck finding somebody that's, you know, not going to care about all the things that, you know, now you need to care about. I mean, I'm getting calls, I'm telling you, of, Eric, is it possible that my condo just raised the assessments from $600 a month to $1,100 a month?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it possible? Yeah, it's probable. And by the way, the law didn't even pass yet requiring the full funding of reserves. So I'm telling you, what's about to come is not pretty. So everybody buckle up. It's going to be a tough ride ahead, believe me. Okay? All right, let's take our bottom of the – Barry, thanks for calling like always, buddy.
Thank you.
Sure. Great. Bye.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take our bottom out of the hour break. Keep the calls coming. Love doing this on YouTube, by the way. The number is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. 850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116. Or grgcpa.com.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We are halfway through the show. Don't wait to the end to give us a call in the studio, 877-850-8585, to ask anything condo or HOA oriented. Or you can watch us on our YouTube channel that's up right now. You can see us live, and that is Condo Craze and HOAs on YouTube. Please subscribe there. You can also ask questions in our chat room there. And we have the phones loaded, Eric.
Yeah, and we have people asking questions on YouTube. So how about we let's answer some questions here. So Kirsty writes in, is it considered a meeting when a quorum of the board members use Facebook to discuss association business, take polls, and vote? Now, if she left out "and vote," I'd have no problem for, you know, there'd be a community site on Facebook to talk matters. And remember, the law says that board members can email each other all day long, but no, they certainly cannot vote by Facebook. The only time they can vote is at a properly noticed meeting where the unit owners have a right to attend. But a Facebook community group, no problem at all. How about we go to Rosario in Broward?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Thank you. I live in Broward County in an HOA community. We're looking into the elections. I understand that we need 30% of our total homeowners for a quorum. The next step is to vote after we get a quorum. And here is the problem, what to do next after we get a quorum. I approach the management company. They're not sure what percentage we need or how to proceed with to vote after we get a quorum. I check the bylaw. It doesn't mention what percentage. we assume is 51%.
No, it's not. It's not. The highest it can be. Hold on, Rosario. Rosario, yes. The most it can be by law in an HOA is 30%. Okay? So figure that your quorum requirement is 30%. Okay? But let me ask you a question. When they did the voting in your HOA, did they send out a letter saying, hey, does anybody want to run for the board? Submit your name?
No. They,
okay.
And we haven't had really elections for years because there's never a quorum. So we're always stuck there.
Okay.
And they just keep running the same people.
Okay. Because there's a new law that says in HOAs, if they do the voting the condo way, where they submit, they ask people to submit their names in advance, and let's say three people wind up submitting their names in a condo, in an HOA, three people submit their names for five seats in an HOA, right? And you go to the annual meeting and you don't have a quorum, right? So the old board members would say, oh, we roll over again. And the answer to that is nope, that is not true.
Really?
If you used the method like condos using, asking for names in advance of the election, right? And an election is not necessary because only three people submitted their names for five slots. Since an election is not necessary, no quorum is necessary. And those three people are the new board.
Whoa, okay? That's huge.
Yeah, that's a huge change
Wow.
for HOA law. Yeah. Because the same people would just roll over and roll over
right.
forever. But the answer to your question, Rosario, is figure on 30% because that's the most it could be by law. How about we go to Diana or Deanna in West Palm?
Hi.
Good morning.
I live in an HOA. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I live in an HOA community in West Palm Beach, well, in Lake Worth, Green Acres. And my neighbor, for like 2 years, almost three, has a pool. It's an enclosed enclosure, but the pool is green. And
Ooh.
Now it's like black.
Oh, dear.
And there's like mosquitoes, and it smells, and it's like it's becoming a hazard.
Right.
And we told the HOA, but they haven't done a thing for it. What do I do? And it smells like bile.
Okay, a couple of things you can do. Number one, you can probably call the Palm Beach County Board of Health or the local code enforcement.
The code enforcement
office.
Told us if we can't see it, we don't touch it.
So they can't.
You don't go behind people's houses.
They won't go behind. Okay.
Yeah, but that's a health hazard.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Board of Health can do something about it. I don't know. But I can tell you, or whoever the homeowner of your house is, your parents, certainly has a private cause of action against your neighbor to force them to clean up their property so it doesn't become a nuisance to your property. You have the right of quiet enjoyment and to use your home in a peaceful manner. And by them making their swimming pool into a dangerous swamp, right? That has now infringed upon your right to have quiet enjoyment of your home. And you can go to court and you can get a judge to order them to clean up and maintain their pool going forward. All you need is some pictures, believe me.
As a nuisance.
Yeah, and not only would you get a judge to order that, but you'd also be entitled to, under the statute, prevailing party attorney's fees. So I think that's something you might want to think about doing.
Probably cheaper to clean the pool.
We lost you. I think we're losing you, Rosario.
Hello?
Yeah, okay, but that's what you got
to
do.
So it would have to be like a civil court, like coming for civil.
Right, exactly. So civil, small claims, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, this is a simple case where if you go in with pictures, you go in with you and your parents' testimony, maybe somebody who lives on the other side of the house also may be willing to testify.
Right.
Or others who smell it. And, judge is absolutely going to make that person comply.
There's nothing that stipulates in the HOA that can say that.
Yes,
that can do
of course. Yes, the HOA, of course, also has provisions in their governing documents, and it might be up to them to also take action against the unit owners. But sometimes you got to look at what your documents say. Sometimes it says the HOA shall or must enforce these restrictions, and sometimes it says may. Now, if it says shall or must, you can force them to do it. If it says may, then the burden may be on you personally to take your neighbor to court. Okay? So I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay, you got it. How about we go to, was that Deanna? So we're going to Sina in Pompano? Sima?
It's Sina.
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 Eric?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, this is Shema. How are you?
How are you? How can we help?
I have, I'm good, thank you. I have three quick questions. One is an owner, and two is somebody who is already on one of the committees and is running for the board.
Okay.
As an owner, the board sent a letter out of nowhere saying to me that because I have a boyfriend living with me, they need to do a background check on him, and we need to pay $100 for that background check. I went to ask, well, what is this for? Oh, you know, we do this when any long-term, you know, people get married, but there's nothing in the documents about it.
Well,
and,
so let's stop there. Let me stop you there. Hold on. Let me stop you. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what one of our prior callers said before. If the unit is titled in your name, there's language in your documents that also say that you get to use the unit with your family and family members. And boyfriend and or fiance fits into that category, okay? And if it doesn't say that those persons or all occupants of a unit must go through the background screening and transfer fee, then you don't have to pay it. End of story.
And it's a condo, right?
Wonderful. Okay.
Yep. Okay, I think you had a Part B.
Okay, he's family. Good.
Part yes.
B. The meetings that where there are the rules that say you have to do 24-hour notice before you have a committee meeting, or that at least three board members need to be present for a meeting, are those just meetings where you're going to be voting? Can people just get together to talk about things without actually voting at other times?
Absolutely not.
Making it a formal official?
If a quorum of members are going to get together and talk shop, it is a meeting, and it must be properly noticed, and the unit owners have a right to attend.
Even if it's in the pool.
Yeah, if you're going to get together.
And it's a committee meeting.
Same thing.
Even committees.
Same thing.
I have a question,
okay.
Eric.
All right,
Your first question. So can they still do a background check on her boyfriend?
Not if the documents don't allow for it. Absolutely not. Okay. No, they cannot. So, you know, probably they're asking for money that they're not entitled to. Okay? But we appreciate the call.
Last question. I had one last question. Is that okay? Real quick. Okay. They kicked the can down the road for 7 years on our pool renovation, repair.
Right.
It went from $150,000 repair to we probably now need to replace the pool $1 million+.
Oof.
Wow.
And I think a lot of what's going on with Surfside has, prompted. And the new board is a little better than... and more conscientious, the members, you know, the configuration changes. So, of course, you know, anything you say as the board changes by depending on the membership.
Oh, but, of course, absolutely.
The question I have is, being on the design committee, and we have professional interior designers who are contributing their time for free, anytime you do a renovation like that in your home where you're gutting and changing this monster part of your infrastructure, I would think you'd want to take a step back and look at the entire plaza. You know, what do you want to do with the jacuzzi? Is it end of life? Do you still want that structure there that was built from 1970?
Right.
But I find it difficult to get the board's attention to do this type of thing because they're already at $1 million. Anything else they do is going to be more. What's the common thinking around this? Am I being a nuisance? Or is
no,
it's a,
every board. Every board has their own way of thinking. And the reality of the situation is in the higher end buildings, right, the board members tend to think like what you just said. If as long as we're doing one thing, let's do the whole damn thing, right? Because maybe those unit owners can afford more. in a lower income community where people perhaps are just living on Social Security, you want to do as least as possible, but in order to make sure that, you know, the people have the right to use a swimming pool. So it really depends oftentimes on the income of the members of that community. But you raise an interesting point. And let's talk about the Surfside case for a second. In the end, it was expected to cost about $15 million to make the structural repairs that were ultimately needed to fix the building. Now, several years ago when they were warned that the building needs major repairs, you can bet it was less, far less, than $15 million. And as the damage to the building grows, it grows exponentially. So the idea is to fix it early so that, like you said, a $150,000 repair does not become a $1 million repair by kicking it down the road. But that was a good call. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Seema. We got to take final break of the hour. Keep the calls coming and don't wait till the last minute. Don't get shut out. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Back right after this.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face-to-face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He is board certified in community association law. And we are taking your calls, questions, and also you can find us on YouTube live. You can see us. Go to our YouTube channel, Condo Craze and HOAs, and you can also ask a question in the chat room. We are multimedia, my friend.
Absolutely. I'm loving it. You know what? Let's answer a question from Abby. Abby writes in, what advice do you have for a new resident HOA as we take over the board from the developer and they had ignored violations for construction, landscaping, and more? Okay, Abby, let me say this about as directly as I can. The most important time to be a board member is at the time of takeover, turnover from the developer. Why? You have tremendous obligations. You have an obligation to make sure that the developer properly funded, right, the association, that the developer didn't leave the unit owners with unpaid bills. You got to make sure that the condition of the property is in good condition. So typically what happens is the association will hire their own structural engineer to walk the property. If it's an HOA, typically there'll be a clubhouse, there'll be a swimming pool, you know, some other components. And you want to make sure, just like our last caller, there isn't a $1 million problem with the pool. There isn't a $1 million problem with the clubhouse. Maybe the clubhouse is leaking. Maybe the windows are no good, whatever it may be. But that's what you want to find out after turnover from the developer, the condition of the property and the financial condition of the property. Did the developer fund reserve accounts if they were required to fund reserve accounts? A lot of different things. Now, the developer is required to give you an audit from their independent auditor. And typically that audit will come in and say that the developer paid everything that the developer was supposed to pay. In fact, you owe the developer money. And then you take that audit and you give it to your independent auditor and says, no, you owe us money. And then, you know, hopefully you work something out. The construction issues become a lot harder depending upon just how big the problems are. And oftentimes it winds up in court, where the new board that takes over winds up suing the developer for not keeping the property in the condition that it was required to be kept in. So the suit for breach of warranty, you can sue the directors for breach of fiduciary duty, all kinds of things. But again, the most important time to be a board member, believe me, is after turnover, because you have a lot of things to think about. And you got to make sure the developer turns over all of the documents and resignations and everything else they're required to give you under the statute. All right, how about we go to Steve in Delray?
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
How are you, Steve? What's up?
I got a couple of questions. The first one is on the reserve accounts. I asked the CAM manager if during the elections and the budgeting adoption, whether or not they did the reserve accounts estimated by an independent expert. And he said that the first management company did it, who was the management company.
Okay, how many years ago?
I don't know. He didn't say. Yeah. He just said they didn't need to do it, but first management is responsible for that.
Yeah, but maybe the management company that was there 15 years ago did the reserve study. How do I know? You know, and that's what they're relying
on. I don't know.
Upon.
How often does it have to be done?
Well, now you're talking about probably having to do it every 3 years. That's right.
Right.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I got a second question. Stalking and harassment by neighbors.
Yes.
I think it's organized.
Are you organizing it? I don't understand your question.
Not me. It's like, it's false accusations, tailing at night, following us. My son lives with me. He can't sleep at night because of, I don't know, just, you know, people outside talking and just things going on. I encountered one guy walked by a house 4 times, and I said, why do you keep walking by our house? Is there a purpose to it? He says, whatever it takes.
Bottom line is people are just walking in the street. No, there's nothing you can do about it. The streets are, you know, as long as you live there. Or I live in a community where even though it's a HOA, the streets are dedicated to the city. So anybody can walk in front of my house anytime they want.
But isn't that the threat, whatever it takes?
Yeah, but when you say whatever it takes, I don't know.
I went to local law enforcement, and I mentioned it to them, and they But it makes it like it's a big joke, you know. It's like get no response, no advice.
Well,
and this
you
isn't
know,
the first time it's happened.
The only thing I've heard is that people are, you know, standing in front of your house, maybe talking and stuff, and unless it's loud and unless it's disturbing the peace, then no, you probably don't have a cause of action, Steve. Sorry to tell you, but hey, Steve, we're running out of time. We got to go to Beth in Oakland Park. How are you, Beth?
Hello.
Hey, Beth, how are you?
Good. I have a quick question. We're having our annual membership meeting for the elections of the board, and they sent out a registration form that had to be back on January 6th.
Is this for a condo?
Our association, the condo docs.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, this is a condo, right?
Yes. Well, okay. Townhouse is an HOA.
Well, is it a condo or an HOA? That's what we need to know. You got to slow down. We got to answer the question. It's an HOA. Okay. So go ahead.
Okay. So the condo docs call for 5 members. Only 4 of the previous board has run, and the letters for the registration for candidacy have you back on January 6th because our meeting's on the 17th.
Right.
We have a owner who wants to apply for that 5th position. How do they go about that?
Well, if it's too late and only 4 members submitted their names for the 5 spots, those 4 people are going to be the board. End of story. If they want, after they get on the board and there's a vacancy, those 4 members will have a right to fill the vacancy. And the question is, will they be nice and fill the vacancy with the 5th person who really wanted to be on the board but got their notice of intent in late? They're under no obligation whatsoever to choose that person, but, you know, maybe they'll step up and be nice to that person and let that person on. But they don't have to, no. Okay?
Can we run with 4 members when we're supposed to have 5?
No, the board should fill that 5th slot. You know, a board of 4 is likely to have, you know, 2-2 ties in many situations, exactly what you want to avoid. So you want that 5th slot filled. Okay? It doesn't have to be filled with that person,
okay, so that person
but it needs to be filled
to
with somebody.
What would that person have to do, approach the board?
Or the board could approach anybody they want, vice versa. As long as it gets filled, you know, okay. I don't care who approaches who. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call. Thanks, you got it. You know, it's
Bye.
Funny, Karen,
Bye.
And this happens a lot. And you know, if you will just re-listen to this past call that we just had, and I don't mean any disrespect.
She doesn't know if she's in a condo.
Right. From Beth. Yeah, I don't mean any disrespect to Beth at all, not at all. But a lot of people have literally no idea what if they're living in either a condo or an HOA. They use the terms interchangeably.
Right. She could our condo docs. She
right,
said it
right,
first.
Right. Our condo docs, but our HOA election, and you know. And she kept switching back even after I, you know, tried to get a firm answer from her.
They're
and
both,
let me
they're,
tell you something.
Yeah, they're dictated by different laws.
There's two totally different statutes. They're handled completely different. I mean, as you know, one is controlled by a state agency overlooked by the DBPR. The other has a hands-off policy. The way elections are done in each community is totally different. Reserves are totally different in each community. So it's important to know what type of community you're living in. And when you talk to somebody, you can't say my HOA and then use my condo in the same sentence because it's one or the other.
Well, or it could be co-op.
Or co-op, right, of course. But it's not a condo or an HOA, so you got to be careful. How about we go to Leslie in Delray?
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, it's Leslie. Hi, Eric. Hi.
Hey, Leslie, how are you?
Good. I have several quick questions. One is that we all have to go February 1st to your class. Second of all is that if you're on the board, can I give one of the estimates for paying things to another to show it to another condo board member?
Can you share an estimate that you receive with another board member? I would think you're required to do it. Number one, thank you for reminding me. Yes, everybody, we got our seminars coming up. First one, West Palm Beach, February 1st, 9 a.m. We'll be teaching our Condo Craze and HOA's board certification class. So, Leslie, thanks for reminding our listeners about that. We'll be doing it live.
So can I share it with another unit? It's not in my unit. It's next door. I mean, they're friends of mine, you know, and, you know, I want them to get the best for them,
yes,
too.
I think, can you share an estimate? Yes, I think you can share an estimate. Absolutely no problem with that.
Okay, and second of all is that we had a landscape, and somebody across the street with the dog comes up and does business on our side. And we told them not to. Can we put signs, no pets on?
Yeah,
on
well, the if they're coming from another community, is that what you're saying? Are they actually coming from outside the community?
Another association.
Yeah,
and
so.
And second of all,
yeah.
You know where I am now. There's different units. There's different associations. Can we have a meeting with somebody in your office to go over, because all the docs are from 79. There's no men to men or time to time or Kaufman war.
Oh, listen to her, yay.
Well, Leslie comes to all the meetings. She knows
she's
exactly
so
what she's talking about. And these are all condos, by the way?
Yes, yes.
Okay, because when I hear 79, I get nervous, because if it's an HOA and they didn't preserve the documents, they're gone, right? But, hey, I just got that whisper. Hey, VJ, why don't you step in front of the camera and say hello to everybody so everybody
VJ,
knows
step in front.
Who they're talking to when they call in. All right, hey, VJ, come on, step in front of the camera. Don't be camera shy. Come meet our listeners, VJ.
He's the best.
All right, thanks for all you do. And, hey, I just got that whisper in my ear that it's time to go. Hey, if you don't forget, if you have any legal problems during the week, give me a call at Glazer and Sachs, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. Register for our educational seminars and just have a healthy week. And we'll see you and speak to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m. on Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a great and safe week, everybody.
Thank you.
There he is.